sure appreciate the opportunity tonight to speak to you guys again. I'm glad you're all here, and try to keep it short so you can enjoy the fellowship afterwards just as well as the service here. Now, I want to speak about something tonight that God has speaking to my heart before lately and got a hold of me. And I don't mean to criticize you or anything or by any means, but I'm trying to explain what the scripture says when we go through Matthew chapter 6. If you want to turn there with me, Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to read a few verses, and then later I'm going to read some more. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. That Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." In these few verses, Jesus is basically commanding us to not store treasures up on this earth. Now, when he means treasures, we could say, well, it's probably money. It's all kinds of things. It could be money. And as we'll see later, mostly he's talking about money and wealth. But not only. As I kept reading through the Bible lately, I kept coming across more and more things to talk about that very kind of issue here. "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." That's a very key passage here. But not only that, but because if God wants our treasure to be in heaven, because he wants our heart to be there too. Like very much as Brother Jeff this morning said, God wants our heart. He does not want our pocketbook, not necessarily in the first place, but he wants our heart. And so he wants to make sure if he has our treasure in heaven, if we have our treasure in heaven, he has it there, then he has our heart as well. But before we keep going on this, I want to branch out a little bit further and talk about a little bit more about heaven. Now we have this contrast, don't lay up treasures on earth, but in heaven. Now I want to expound on this contrast a little bit more. If you look at the Bible, we always see God not being concerned about too much what's going on in this earth. He's much more concerned about what's going on after this life on earth here. He's concerned about things in heaven. He's concerned about things of eternity. Well, let me explain it. For example, when God created Adam and Eve, the first thing, he created them not to die. They wouldn't have to die. They could live forever, as God created them perfect. But yet, as you know, the thing of history keeps going along. Now, Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and so he put death on them. But in the very first place, I want you to notice this. God did not mean Adam and Eve to die. He is in eternal things. God is worried about what's going on in eternity. And after Adam and Eve sinned, they could not live for eternity anymore. They could not live that long. They would have to die. That was the penalty for the sin, for they did. But also, if you think it all the way through, it's kind of a blessing too. I guess for me right now, I'm happy I don't have to live on this earth forever. I mean, it's great, but I don't want to be here forever. I know, maybe you get the idea what I mean. You know, there's better things. And so, but God is interested in more and what endures. He himself lives eternally. He's ever before creation. He's always. He is. That's what he tells us in his word. And so, when you consider Jesus' life as well, he's focused on eternal things too. He had the power and might to do all kinds of things. He was healing the sick and doing all kinds of miracles. He was even raising people from the dead. But yet, at the same time, he did not have a house. And he tells his disciples, or other people coming up and asking him, "Where are you going?" Well, he says, "You know, foxes have their holes, and birds have the nest, but I do not have a place to stay here. Jesus himself is not concerned about the life on earth here. He tells his disciple, follow me, meaning leave everything behind. Give everything up. There comes this rich ruler comes along, and this rich young man comes along and asks him, yo, what I got to do to inherit eternal life? Well, only Jesus tells him what to do, and he said, well, I did all those things. I kept all the commandments. But Jesus tells me, but you lack one thing. Give up your treasures, and sell your possessions, give it to the poor, and follow me. And upon that, rich young man, he takes off and leaves. Now, there's not necessarily something wrong with possessions. But there you can see, this rich young man, for example, his heart was very much in treasures on earth. He had this treasure, wasn't willing to give it up. You know, some point in life, we have to give it up. I mean, even if they fill your casket with all your money and possessions you have, it's just going to rot. You got to give it up. And so Jesus seems to plead with me, and I hope after I'm done here, maybe with you too. There is more to live for. There is more to live for than for earthly possessions. And so here, coming back to Matthew 6, here he's saying, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there is your heart also. Now for us, if I consider myself or maybe you, I didn't have to look very far to find some things about, you know, where I'm not focused in heaven. I'm sure not. And Paul writes to the Colossians here, Colossians 3, verse 1 and following. I'm just going to, if you don't want to turn there, that's fine. I'm just going to read it to you. In Colossians 3, Paul is arguing with the people in Colossae about what to do with their life, basically. And he says, if then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And then Paul keeps going on in verse 5 here. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Well, first he tells them in verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, does that sound familiar from the Matthew passage? Don't worry about things on earth. Set your mind on things from above. Now, there's this contrast between what's going on earth and what's only a lifespan and what's going on in heaven. It's about the eternal things. And it seems to me that God is not very much concerned about what's going on earth. Rather, about what's going on in heaven. About eternal things. Paul gives a whole list. And I don't think he meant to give an exhaustive list of what people should do. How to set their heart on things from above. How to set your mind on it. But he gives quite a list here. And I'm just going to add on to it. You know, often when we think about ourselves, we think about our career. We're worried about, you know, after school, worried about what we're going to study in college. And we could figure it out. We know where we're going. We have a goal. But did we ever give a thought or our mind into what God wants us to do? You know, if the earthly things are not so important to God, provided it for us. Why aren't we asking about God? What do you want me to do to lay up treasures in heaven? You know, as I said earlier, I don't want you to now to get mad at me for saying all that. But rather, if I go through more of this, I rather want you to maybe ask God yourself what you should change in your life. And so I just want to give you some thoughts here. Like covetousness or jealousy, also a very, very big thing. If I find myself being jealous of something, then I want something maybe my neighbor has. Well, why would that be? Why would I want that? Well, because I like a nicer car. I like a bigger lawnmower. I like to have a nice place to live. But what for? Where is my mindset if I desire all those things? Is my mindset still on earthly things? Or is my mindset on heavenly things? I guess you know the answer to that one. So what if, if you look for buying some more land? Or fix up your house, or buy a new vehicle? Well, some things are necessary. I don't think the Bible tells us to totally go careless and don't think of anything anymore. But what I'm getting here is, where is your mind? Are you focused on what's going on in heaven? Or what lasts for eternity? Or what's going on here? Another big thing for especially for me is prayers. What are we focused on when we pray? Where is our mindset on? Are we praying for restoration of my health? Well, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. But if we do, for what reason? Are we praying for that because, well, I'd like to be healthy, or I'd like to too, but is it God's will? Is it not earthly thinking? Now, this life is only going to be this short amount of time. You know, what's very interesting, for example, this very passage we read earlier in Matthew, where it says, lay up your treasures in heaven, where moth and rust does not destroy. In Luke, he's telling the same story. But right before it, he's telling the parable of the barn-building fool. You're probably familiar with this story. This big old farmer has this huge crop, tears all down his barn, builds bigger ones, newer ones, to store all his crop, and said, now I got it made for life. Don't have to worry a thing anymore. But God comes and tells him, what a fool. The next day you're going to die. He spent his whole life to secure himself that didn't last. God is not worried about earthly things. No, we can't add on to our life anymore. If you think about your health, well, if you're healthy, it's great. If you're not, I'm not saying you're not supposed to go to a doctor anymore. But I'm just wondering what does God want us to do? What does He wants us to focus on heavenly things? That's all I know. What that means specifically in your case, I do not know. So if you're praying, the prayer of Jabez, I don't know if you're familiar with it, it's something that was going around quite a bit a year ago. A big emphasis on it. But the prayer is all about enlarge my property. What for? Jesus didn't seem to care about that. Amen. Jesus was going around preaching the gospel. I mean, he was healing the sick. Yes, he was. And he was showing his power through that. But his main concern was not about how people live. His disciples, he asked them to follow him. Take up your cross and follow me. That was his message. Another point is about those things. We have this huge entertainment program going on. Every time we're at home, we have to change to turn on a TV, turn on a computer game, or play other games. I barely have 5 minutes at home before Darren asks me, do you want to play a game with me? Well, playing games is great. And time flies by quick. But sometimes, and we have great fellowship with it, but sometimes I'm wondering, where is our mindset? Are we playing, are we doing our entertainment to just get our mind off God? To just relax? Not think about anything anymore? I mean, why do people go golfing? I mean, I don't know. I'm not good at anything, so I golf, so I don't enjoy it. But some people do. But why? Is your mindset on heavenly things? I'm not saying you can't go golfing. I'm not saying that. Don't get me wrong. But you can. You may as well. But is your mindset on heavenly things? When you go out of town to go shopping, just consider your spending. Where does your money go to? Are we investing in God's kingdom? You know, Jesus, he says all the time, the kingdom is near. This lifespan is so short. In Psalm 90, Moses says, you know, life is about 70 years, maybe if you're lucky, 80. And he flies by fast. Considering that short life period, why do we spend so much on this short time? So much thinking, so much entertaining. We're great in the United States to keep us busy and keep our focus off God. And I just found myself caught into that too. Now you say, well, but you're going to Africa, you got it all figured out. Well, it seems like. Well, it doesn't mean I could be jealous. It doesn't mean I could covet what other people do, what other people have. See, sometimes it's not easy to do the right thing. Like, if we come back to Matthew 6, I'm going to read that one now. Verse 24, all the way to the end of the chapter 6. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will love the one and he despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. Yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now I want to go through that a little bit in smaller sections. Well, first Jesus says here, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will love the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. With mammon, basically, he means money, or it also could translate into wealth. There's only one or the other way. And I was just reading some of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, that's a German fellow, who died in a concentration camp, some of his works on discipleship. And he was writing one interesting comment about this passage. And I was thinking, he's so right. And he was writing, you know, this verse doesn't leave an option in between. There's only, you can either follow God or you can follow something else. You can't have your mind set on one thing and yet do something else at the same time. But yet we as Christians, that's what Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, we as Christians think it is more spiritual, or we can prove our spiritual life if we can handle both at the same time. Now, that seems weird, but it's very much how our life looks like. We somehow seem to get it managed to intermingle those two. I would say, well, it's good to have money. It's good to live a good life. And also have our mind set on heavenly things. But God tells us here, it's only one or the other. There is no in between. So this rich young man that came to Jesus, Jesus told him, well, sell all your possessions and then come and follow me. There was no in between. Where do you have your mind set on in your daily life? Is it on this earth, on this span of life, which is about 70 years, or is it about what it's after? And that's on that basis, Jesus keeps telling the rest of what's going on here. He says, do not worry about your life. Verse 25 here. Don't worry about what to drink or what to clothe yourself with or what to eat. Basically saying, do not worry about this life too much. This is what everybody else does. Those who do not know God. Well, that's the only thing they have left. Well, if they don't enjoy this life, if they don't believe in God, well, then there's nothing left for them. But for us, knowing that there's more, how much more should we just disregard it and say, I'm not worrying about this? Now, I think there's a hope in between. Now, don't get me wrong on this. If he says, don't worry about what to eat and what to drink, that doesn't necessarily mean don't have a garden anymore. But it means, for example, if it's not raining, don't worry about those plants outside. I mean, God gives the rain to each time. He got it all figured out already. He knows what you need. It looks like sometimes we spend more time on watering our plants than praying. Now, where do we have our mind on this? Are we focused still on what the Bible says, on what God is all about? Or are we worried about our garden? Are we worried about our flowers? And then in verse 27, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Basically, stature also translates to his life. Because to your lifespan, what can you add to it by worrying? You can make it longer. You can make it shorter if you're desperate, but I don't recommend that either. But you can make it longer. I'm not sure how much this means and how much we would need to cut down our retirement funds. You know, where do we lay up our treasures? I don't think there's something necessarily wrong with the retirement fund. But I'm thinking, if that's what you're living for, then you missed life. Out of one good reason, because when Jesus tells us in his word in Matthew 16, he says, take up your cross and follow me. And he also in the same passage says, whoever loses his life, following me will gain it. And however we'll hold on to his life, he will lose it. If you want to find life in abundance, there's no life in worrying. Maybe you know that much. Worrying about something never makes you happy. That's just something natural about life. But if you think about God, if you follow Him, there's nothing to worry anymore. And life takes on a different perspective. That's pretty much what Jesus meant. If you want to find life, you got to lose it. You got to give it up, give this earthly life up. And you might as well find this earthly life, this real life you desire to give up, or you want to give up, to live in pleasures. You find it worthy to live all of a sudden. Because we quit worrying. That's what I have experienced so far. You know, giving everything up, getting ready to go to mission field, I do not regret having not all those other things. Having much less to worry. I don't have a house somebody can break in. I have to put a lock on. I don't have a car I have to be worried about somebody stealing, because even if I would leave the key in it, nobody would take it. All of a sudden, you quit worrying. Well, life is getting so more exciting. You can focus on things that are in heaven. I guess that's what he's talking about, this rich young man. He was so focused on his treasures, he couldn't let it go. But if you have your treasures in heaven, if you can focus on other things, life takes a different turn. Now I have one more point here. Verse 32, I kind of said that already. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for a heavenly Father knows what you need, all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Often I'm afraid we're copying too much what other people do, instead of ourselves making a decision where I want to go in my life. This morning in Sunday school, we're talking some about that, making your own decisions, like Joshua did. He calls the Israelites and tells them, you know, you got to make your own decision. Moses is gone. I'm about to die here. But you got to make your own decision where you go with your life. It's about your own life. What you do with it. You got to set your own course. And that's why I'm pleading, trying to plead with you. Ask God what He wants you to do with your life. Don't change to something because I said it, but because God wants you to. So ask Him. Because not all things we do are necessarily the right thing to do. Like Brother Jeff was hitting me last Wednesday night. Was it Wednesday night? In Proverbs 14, verse 12. Man thinks of his own ways, but they only lead to death. We can think of what we think is right. But if we do it because we think it's right, it's not right. God proved to the Israelites that when He cares for them, they're doing very well. Even when they seek after Him, when they look for Him and pray to Him, He would bless them. Very much like this 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the things shall be added to you. That's the very thing that Israelites experienced. We can read through Chronicles or Kings, or even through the Judges. Looking to God, they're doing great. They're not looking unto God, doing their own thing. God punishes them. They're in war. Very simply, I don't know how much up and down it goes. But it seems the very thing God wants us to do in our personal life too. To look unto Him. Because He can do all those things. Now, on the other hand, I'm not saying if we look unto Him, He's going to bless us like the Israelites and make us rich. Because I would be afraid if He would, we would just turn away from Him. And often, if we really follow Him, for example, like Paul did, we endeavor hardships. We go through difficult times. But yet, at the same time, life is worth it. Now, you're going to be one day in heaven and say, this is worth it. Not so much because you have a huge treasure in heaven now, but because you lived your life worthy for a bigger cause. not just for your own.